Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol mekshivim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach Betoch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My friends, in our systematic progress through the books of our Hebrew Bible, we have reached the third book of Moses, known in English as Leviticus, and in Hebrew as Vayikra. Like the individual precious stones which studded the ephod of Israel's high priest, so we also discovered the individual precious key idea which shone from each of the first three books of Torah. Election was the jewel of Genesis, redemption the radiance of Exodus, and communion, the cameo of Leviticus. In Exodus, the mount is God's dais from which he speaks to bring Israel into union with himself. In Leviticus, the Mishkan, the tabernacle, is God's doorstep from which he speaks to bring Israel into communion with himself. The book of Leviticus, then, amplifies the book of Exodus and reveals the possibility, the pathway, and the provision of this sweet communion with the Godhead. Exodus reveals the people being brought close to God by the blood of substitutionary sacrifice. Leviticus discloses the people being maintained close to God by the same divinely ordained means. In Exodus, God approaches man. In Leviticus, man approaches God. In Exodus, God is revealed as divine love. In Leviticus, that attribute is retained but amplified, for God is shown as divine light as well as divine love. And herein lies the paramount problem. Let me introduce this problem to your notice by making employment of some lines of the English poet Thomas Gray in his Progress of Poesy. Here I quote him. He passed the flaming bounds of space and time, the living throne, the sapphire blaze where angels tremble while they gaze. He saw, but blasted with excess of light, closed his eyes in endless night. Those last lines are powerful, are they not? Think of it, blasted with excess of light. Think on these words but for a moment, because they are fitting introduction to the problem of communion between God and man. The revealed character and activity of God disclose that he strongly desires intimate, unclouded, and sustained communion and fellowship with his crowning creation, man. And that, of course, for man's own good, for God is love and wishes man's maximum welfare. But the revealed character and activity of man disclose an obstruction in that path to communion with the Godhead. Here, then, is the great value of Vayikra, the book of Leviticus, for it reveals how the Eternal mercilessly spotlights that obstruction to communion and then mercifully surmounts that obstruction to communion. Before we inquire into the nature of that obstruction to intimate, unclouded, and sustained communion between God and man, let us obtain an important clue to this question by a peculiar and purely mechanical process. Leviticus is the shortest book in Chumash, the five books of Moses. Yet the Hebrew word, usually denoting holiness in the English, dominates its vocabulary of principal words. I have personally counted over 150 occurrences of the Hebrew word conveying the thought holy. Indeed, that Hebrew word is employed more frequently in the 859 verses of the 27 chapters of Vayikra than in any other single book of the Holy Scriptures. Now that is an enlightening discovery, isn't it? There is one verse in Vayikra, Leviticus, which goes to the very center of the problem. Let me quote it for you. Kadoshim tehiyu, ki kadosh ani Adonai Eloheichem. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Eternal, your gods, am holy. I have repeated part of the second verse of the 19th chapter of Leviticus, also drawing attention to the plurality of the noun Elohim, strictly gods. For, as Rashi says, and here I quote him, the noun Elohim is a noun plural in form, and when it denotes God, it is followed by a verb in the singular. That is the end of the quotation. Now this is a good place to do a little of that recapturing to which I referred in my opening remarks. We need to recapture the biblical meaning of the word translated in English, holy. The Hebrew root is kadosh, and its first use in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. Vayivarech Elohim et yom hashviyi vayikadesh oto. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Here, the English word hallowed is employed in translation. Now, a day is an impersonal period of time, and obviously possesses no personal attributes of moral or spiritual quality in itself. Hence, here the word hallowed, derived from the Hebrew kadosh, correctly conveys the idea of distinction or separateness from other days. The second use of the Hebrew root is going to surprise you, but remember, it is part of our recapturing. You will find it in the 38th chapter of Genesis, and in the 21st and 22nd verses, in the faithful record of the patriarch Judah, and his lapse from moral rectitude with one whom he thought to be a professional prostitute. In seeking her again, Judah asks, Aye ha-kadesha, where is the harlot? A little thought will indicate that the root meaning is again the same as its first use. The seventh day was separated, set apart, devoted, dedicated to a hallowed association. The harlot, on the other hand, was separated, set apart, devoted, dedicated to an unhallowed association. The third use of the root, kadosh, provides further confirmation of its basic meaning. We find it at Exodus chapter 3, verse 5, where Moses is confronted with the phenomenon of the burning bush, and God reminds him, Ki hamakom asher ata omed alav admet kodesh hu, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. That is, ground separated, set apart, devoted, dedicated to a sacred meeting place between God and Moses. Now, we are in a better position, are we not, to grasp the basic import of the key verse in chapter 19 of Vayikra, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Eternal, your gods, am holy. The Eternal God is to be understood as a being whose preeminence, power, attributes, nature, disposition, and qualities are such that he is completely separate from, set apart from, the base and unworthy gods of heathen paganism. He is to be revered for what he truly is, the one true God of the universe, and thus his position, his status, is unique. Israel, then, as his chosen instrument, was to be similarly unique, separated from the outlook worship and practices of the pagan nations, set apart for God's divine service, devoted to his person, and dedicated to the welfare of his interests. Without doubt, this one verse, Leviticus 19:2, goes to the crux of the situation, for it reveals the lofty character of God as light, the loving call of God as love, and, as we shall see in my next message, it exposes the identity of the obstruction to unclouded communion between God and man in general. This, in turn, unveils to our spiritual understanding the problem confronting God when, in divine love, he seeks a way to surmount that obstruction righteously and justly, for God is also light, and light spells death to darkness. We need not turn to theology to elucidate this problem. Human experience is fully adequate for the purpose. God is essentially all holy, and man is not. That statement does not solely rise from revelation. Man's part in it exudes from human experience, like pus from a festering, ugly wound. God is light, and if man in his unholy state approaches the Holy One, blessed be he, we could well remind ourselves of Gray's lines again. He saw, but blasted with excessive light, closed his eyes in endless night. In my next message, we will spend some moments together in answering the question, what is sin? Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Ya'er Adonai panav eylecha v'hunecha, Yisar Adonai panav eylecha v'yaseim lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.